is that we're not strange. Last week I was in a strange church. No, it wasn't strange, but there's something about gathering together with your own people, but even above that, with Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. But one thing about coming home is this, that we know each other, and that can be good, but it can sometimes be bad, but we know each other, and that's, there's no place like home, is there, quite. Friday morning, well, we took David and Marilyn to Florida last Friday. We were down there a week, but anyway, we left Friday morning about 8 o'clock and arrived in South Bend a little after 10. And almost the whole way home, we were above the clouds, and there was pretty much clouds all the way home until we got to South Bend, of all places. The clouds broke, and I could see some homeland there. And our lives kind of are a little bit that way too sometimes, aren't they? We're, I think this morning in our Sunday school class, we talked about the phrase under the circumstances. And I'd like to just talk about that a little bit today if we get to it. But this morning, I'd like for us to look at Jeremiah chapter 17. And my plans changed a little bit yesterday. We thought we were going to have a strange preacher, or a visiting preacher, I should say. But because of COVID, he didn't make it this morning. So, and so as I was considering what to share, one of the great things about the Word of God is that it is inexhaustible. And if you can't find something in the Word of God, then we have a problem, right? It's like a storehouse of treasures. And even as we're studying in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, some of the, I think today's lesson especially, kind of gave us a glimpse of a little bit who Daniel is, didn't it? And maybe I'll refer to that after. I'll read the scripture here. Jeremiah chapter 17, we'll read from verses 5 to verse 17. This is the New King James Version. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes. He shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. Kind of matches what Kevin touched on this morning. We didn't plan that. And will not hear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? A very familiar verse, probably. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Verse 14 is my key verse. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Indeed, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not turned away from being a shepherd who follows you, nor have I desired the woeful day. You know what came out of my lips. It was right there before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of doom. As I think of our lives, even in the past year, I don't know if you did any reflecting on 2020, which was the year of vision, right? And last year at this time, who would have ever thought we'd have went through something like that, right? And yet, we're here, right? And God is still God. He's on the throne. But I think that it's important for us to also think of the fact that in our life, the hurts and the things that we experience in life, we need healing at times, don't we? And we need to know where to go to get those healings. And we all know the things that happened this week in our country were pretty disturbing, I would think. And yet, they are a part of the puzzle of life, aren't they? As I was thinking about this sermon, I thought of our life being a puzzle, and here's the reason why. We have a puzzle on our dining room table right now, and I don't know, it seems like Christmas time is often the time when you start digging the puzzles out. Maybe you guys don't like puzzles. I love it. Surprisingly, I like to sit there and stare at pieces, and then you mash a piece in place, and that's got to fit there. And you take it back out, and you lay it aside, and then you pick it back up, and you put it back in there, and it's got to fit. Isn't that how our life is kind of? And we look at the puzzle, and we know the big picture because we have a box that has the picture of the puzzle. And someone has said it this way, that in our life, and I know that when you make analogies, they don't always come out exactly, but in our life, we in some ways don't have the box, do we? When you're sitting there putting a puzzle together with a couple people, and somebody hogs the box, and we say, where's the box? We got this one piece, and we got to see where it goes, right? But in our spiritual life, in our earthly life, we don't necessarily know what the big picture is, do we? But I'd like for us to think about this, that every piece of the puzzle of our life is what finishes the final picture. And that can be compared to you folks being a part of the puzzle of this church. Each of you is important. And I think that's why when we lose those pieces, and we think of Sue and Naomi and Judy, it hurts. Because they are a part of the whole picture. We don't see the whole picture. We'd like to. And we'd like to know why in the world we got this one piece. That is so painful. We'd like to just toss it aside, right? But how many of you have ever done a puzzle where you get to the last piece and it's gone? And sometimes it's because somebody hit it because they wanted to put the last piece in. But isn't it, it's like when you have that one piece missing in a puzzle, you almost don't care about the other 999 pieces. It's that, where's that last piece? I know it's around here somewhere. But our life is a bit like that as well. And so, as I think I've entitled the message, Heal Me, O Lord. In verse 14, it says, Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. And we know that we almost don't like to hear the first part of this chapter in 5-2. To 13 maybe, where especially verse 9, where it says the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I think one of the things that we need to understand is this: that our heart is desperately wicked to the point that it cannot be healed outside of the blood of Jesus. And if we don't understand that part, we're in deep trouble. We're going to be like that scrubby bush that's in the desert. I think it's in the Message, which is really... I know it's. How would you say it's a wild version? But there are some things sometimes that it's like we're a tumbleweed in the prairie. It says, but it's the amazing thing is that we have a God that searches our hearts. And he says so, but I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. One of the things that happens to us in the puzzle of life is that we think we have this idea of this one puzzle piece. And even as I think of our country, maybe we thought that the puzzle piece was Donald Trump. I don't know. But, and I'm not going to try to be political or whatever, but it's like maybe there are things that happen in our life that are, the purpose of it is to draw our attention to the fact that, you know what, we're not going to fix the problems of this world by the world system, are we? We never are. We pray that God would bless our country and our world. And yet, we also realize that the real answer is not in who our leader is, earthly leader is. Because if we put too much stock in that, we're going to be terribly disappointed, aren't we? And maybe that happened this week. But there's for a purpose. For us to draw back and say, you know what, God, you're the one. And I don't know, in the book of Daniel, in I think it was in verse 15, Daniel was, it says, I was disturbed. All these dream visions had me agitated. How many of us were agitated in 2020? I think probably a lot of us have been. One of the things that has happened quite a bit especially is our schedules. We like for things to happen in an orderly fashion, and sometimes our schedules get messed with, right? And we because of the lack of understanding, we become agitated. And I think Daniel was just like us. In the last verse in Daniel, it says that I was in shock. We are in shock. There are times when we are in shock in this life when things happen to us because we don't understand. It's not how we wanted it at all. But I think it's important for us to also realize then, I think verse 27 is a really bright spot in Daniel there, where it says that the people of the high God, says that the rule, the royal rule and authority and glory of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the people of the high God. And I don't understand that, but I do know this, is that God is in control. And that sounds like a cliche, doesn't it? God is in control. But I think it's important for us to come back to that constantly and realize, God, you are in control. You're the hope. Verse 13 in Jeremiah 17 says, you're the hope of Israel. All who leave you end up as fools and deserters with nothing to show for their lives, who walk off from God, fountain of living waters, and wind up dead. That's the message from the message. And then in verse 14, it says, God, and this is my prayer as well, and this is Jeremiah, he said, God, pick up the pieces, put me back together again. You are my praise. And maybe that's the prayer that we need for 2021. God, put me back together again. One of the things that I'm thankful for is that I know that there's a lot of opinions and things about what happened in 2020 and all that stuff. But I'm just thankful that, as far as I know, we haven't had any divisions. And I think it's important for us to pray against that, that we do not have divisions because of differing opinions. Because I know that there are churches who are divided, almost to the point of splitting. And it's like, how can that be? How can we let things like that happen, where it comes to the point of dividing so harshly? So I think it's our prayer. My prayer is that we, as we walk, like Joyce said, if we fall, let's not kick each other, but let's be considerate and lend a hand. And also, Jeremiah goes on and he says this, listen to how they talk about me. So where's this word of God? We'd like to see something happen. That's the enemy. And sometimes we think we have to fight back and defend that. But you know what? The glory of the Lord, all glory belongs to God, and it will be restored to him eventually, fully. It is his, but what I'm saying is every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then he goes on, he says, that it wasn't my idea to call for doomsday. I never wanted troubles. You know what I've said. It's all out in the open before you. Verse 17, don't add to my troubles. Give me some relief. And then verse 18, I didn't read that in the King James, but it says, let those who harass me be harassed, not me. Let them be disgraced, not me. Bring down upon them the day of doom. Lower the boom. Boom. And I know I don't think we physically want God to lower the boom on people, but I think that there are times in our hearts where we think, wow, where are you, God? As I think of this I was going to share a part of another scripture, but I might hold that for another time. I think I will. Our heart needs healing constantly, doesn't it? And what is the cure? We know that sin is deceitful. And the way that sin works is it's like we lust after something and then we take it in and then it... And in James 1:14, it says this, But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. One of the things I think that I struggle with, maybe you do too, is that we find it hard to call something sin. We don't steal. We don't fight. But sometimes we have really bad attitudes because of disagreeing with things that are happening. And it's important for me to realize that I must surrender everything to Jesus Christ, the cure for the heart. Heal me, O Lord. I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved. What must I do to be saved? Some think it's attainment. God says atonement. We think we can be saved by the things that we do, the things that we attain, the good deeds that we attain, our status. God says atonement. Some think by character, but God says the cross. Some think by doing works, but God says by work done. By work done. Does that make sense to you? It's different than works, but it's work done in the name of Jesus because what is Holy Spirit directed. Some think by trying, but God says by trusting. Repent, believe, receive. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When I was a youngster back in the 1900s, late 1900s, there was a song that I thought of that Steve and Dave and some of you will probably identify with, if I can find it. The song called Pieces by the Imperials, and I'm not going to sing it. I had it somewhere here. I probably would. But it's... It's Jesus holding the pieces of our lives. And he has all the pieces. In the song, it says something about 1,000 tiny pieces jumbled and undone. Who could really ever put them back together again? And then Jesus says, I have them in my hand, and I'll put them
all together, every single one of them. As we go through life, and I don't know about those who have gone on, did they have a chance to see? I think they did in some ways. The final puzzle piece, the final piece was put in. And all the other hurting pieces and bent, out of shape pieces from us trying to put them in are straightened out. And God will wipe every tear from our eye. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow, no more crying. And the former things all passed away. And I think it's so important for us to realize that God has the final pieces of our life, and He can put them together like nobody else can. Jeremiah 17:14 says this: God, pick up the pieces of my life. Put me back together again. I give you my praise. In God, we have the assurance that life cannot steal your hope. In Christ, life will not leave you shattered and broken. God will comfort your heart and spirit in difficult times and heal the heartache in your life. He is the great healer, that who will place the salve of grace on your bumps and bruises, comforting your broken heart and mending your shattered life. He is the Lord, your healer. He will make the bitter things in your life taste as sweet as honey upon your tongue. This stressful world and society bombards us as we feel the weight under the load of seemingly unsolvable problems. Trust in God, and He will deliver you. This is His promise, over and over again. God is constantly reforming your future, erasing your painful yesterdays, and giving you the strength to endure today. In Christ, you have a new tomorrow and a promise of a joyful, abundant life. Psalm 71:20-21. God, you have made me see it. You have made me see it through many troubles and calamities. And you will always revive me again from the depths of the earth. You will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me over and over again. God, you've done it all. Lord, there is none like you. God, you have enabled me. Stare trouble in the eyes. You have turned me around. With you, I can look life in the face. I've been in the bottom, but you will bring me up, overflowing with honors. Please hear my voice and come unto me and be tender to me. Let's pray. God, I thank you for so many promises in your word that we've only scratched the surface on. And I just pray, God, a blessing on all of us who are gathered here this morning. And as we think of the pain and the trouble that maybe we're going through right now, even think of the loss of loved ones, God, I pray, God, that you would comfort and bless. And even the disappointments of things that have happened in our life, may you bring healing to that. May we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, also be aware of those hurts. May we be sensitive. May we be able to care in a small way as you care for us. Direct us as we go from here. May your name be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.